everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of The Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more. On tonight's roster, we have Gonzo Ryder.
Hello, hello.
Kevlar Menace.
Hello.
And Vito number 9.
I survived Comic-Con, bitches.
That's right, and thank you to everybody in our live stream who is listening live. As usual, every week, thank you guys. And special thank you to everybody at home who's downloaded this to listen. So, Vito, Comic-Con, we've been seeing a lot of your posts this week.
And I'm working on more, actually. I've got some videos sitting in the Dropbox I need to upload. A couple of good ones, actually. There's one of them of me and Alberto playing Shoot Many Robots, which is coming in January of next year. Awesome, awesome game. If you guys haven't seen anything about it, just look for my article and check out some videos. You can look at gameplay videos online. It's just a great game. So much fun.
I have a question for you, Comic-Conian. What the hell is that box you were standing in yelling?
It's a promotional thing they were doing for a game called Asura's Wrath. What you do is you have to stand in the box. It's sort of semi-soundproofed. You stand in it and you just yell as loud as you can for as long as you can. And what happens is there's a meter on the top of the box that measures the sound level. And if you manage to get it all the way up to 100, you got a little kind of like a skull cap. With some fuzzy troll doll hair sticking off of it, and you got entered into a contest to win $150 in the worth of credit in the Capcom store. And most guys were failing miserably. They were yelling, and they'd get it up to like 85 or 95, and then they'd peter out. And then a lot of the girls were actually managing to peg the needle. I got to a 98.4 on my first try, because they gave you two tries. I got a 98.4 on the first one, and then the second one shot so fast from 98 to 100 that the photographer wasn't able to catch it with the fast frame. So he had to just take a shot of the 100. But yes, I did it, because I'm fucking angry.
Yeah, I bet you actually shrieked like a girl, because...
I did. I had to reach down and grab my testicles and twist.
That's where your hands are.
No, there was a guy standing outside, like, doing commentary and cheering people on. And I set down my bag for Lou, our photographer. Yeah. I put it down in front of him so I wasn't standing there holding it in the little booth there. And the commentator was like, "So, is this your friend? Does he have a lot of rage?" And Lou goes, "There's an understatement." The whole crowd started laughing. And then he's like, "Well, what makes him angry?" Lou says, "Everything."
So, Vito, was this your first New York Comic Con that you had gone to, or had you gone there before?
No, this is my first time going, and I had a lot of fun the first couple of days. The third day was just too much for me. The unwashed masses proved to be daunting.
Did people just not take showers in between days?
Well, I don't know.
So he assumed everyone else did.
I don't know if it was the fact that they weren't taking showers or the fact that no air conditioning system in the world could cool a building filled with like 40,000 overweight nerds all rubbing up against each other, because it was straight up nut to butt sea of human beings in there.
Nut to butt.
That phrase.
But anyway. you were there with another Noisecast contributor, Alberto, right?
Yep, Alberto was there. We hung out most of the time, which seemed a little... it seemed a little counterproductive at first, because I figured, well, maybe we could cover more ground if we split up. But with 4 days to work with, it really wasn't hard to cover a good bit of the floor.
Yeah, Alberto also gave us a sneak peek today on a couple games as well. You got to play, I saw you got a lot of pictures with some famous people and got some pretty much game time as well at some of the booths, right?
Yeah, we got some... Got some game time on Shoot Many Robots. Got to play... I got to see some of the new Arkham City, but I didn't want to spoil it for myself, because mm-hmm. that's coming out on Tuesday, actually. I got to play Star Wars The Old Republic, which...
How did you like that?
It's very similar to World of Warcraft in the way that it controls, with the cooldown system and everything, but it's a lot smoother than it looks in some of the videos. And unfortunately, because they had just finished setting up before we got in, their servers crashed.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got maybe 5 minutes into our 15-minute playtime, and the servers just completely crashed. So we were just getting into it. I know, that's what I said too.
Okay, I really was hoping to get your first impression, because as you know, I'm in the beta right now. I'm testing it out. I'm telling you how it's really pretty nice, and I know you're a hardcore WoW veteran, so I think it will impress you. I just want to know what your first impressions would be.
Yeah,
I can't believe I just heard hardcore WoW veteran in a sentence. Not to mention, like, in a positive tone.
Yeah, usually it's like, you fucking dork. What I got to see of it, there was a little bit of gameplay that I was able to get in on, and what I got to see of it was pretty amazing. I'm even more excited for it now than I was.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you heard it here first, folks. If you're a WoW player, WoW veteran, a hardcore WoW veteran, this will impress you. Cool. Alright. Also, I'm seeing that one of our readers, Killa Kazakhs, was there too. But did you guys hook up with him at all or no?
I didn't even know he was there until he started whining about his knee and getting on the bus to go home. Yeah, I didn't even know he was there because I got to meet Brian O'Halloran. If you don't know who he is, if you've seen pretty much any of Kevin Smith's movies, he was Dante Hicks in Clerks and Clerks 2. He played, Randall? Or no.
Hey, Steven, stop typing.
I'm not typing. My hands aren't even on the keyboard.
Hold on. I think that's my wife fucking beating things upstairs. Hold on. I'm going to go strangle her.
So I guess that means we can pause the Comic-Con conversation and come back to it? Because you know it's going to be gone for a minute.
You don't have to stop his wife from beating something upstairs.
I hope his kid... You got to hammer the floor or something. I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess we'll come back to Vito because... want to get a last word out of him about that, but also this week, first big news. Sort of sad that we're having two sort of gloomy, deathly announcements within 2 weeks. But Dennis Ritchie, if y'all don't know who he is, he's pretty much the granddaddy of C, the programming
language. You don't
know,
and that's just depressing.
Yeah, he's one of the original people behind C as well as the Unix operating system. He passed away. This week, very, very sad moment. He also was given a Nobel Prize, the National Medal of Technology by Bill Clinton, and got the Turing Award as well for his work.
And not only that, everyone who's ever met him said he was a really, really great guy, absolutely geek sense of humor. But he was true to the geeks.
He was king of the geeks, in my opinion.
The guy, I mean, can you imagine writing a programming language, especially in, when did he start, 69 or something like that?
Especially one like C, used.
He created C in 1969 when working at Bell Labs.
Yeah, and so you imagine doing that before computers were, I don't know, the slightest bit user-friendly.
Right.
I mean, considering what he was working with, the guy had to have... of it in his mind, and it probably just took him forever to actually get it down.
And what's really amazing is that when he was, you know, one of the key guys in creating Unix. I think, was he the creator? Was one of the main people, one of the two.
There was a group of them. He was just in it, and because of C, they rewrote Unix. It was originally in assembly. They recoded it to C so it would be more portable.
Right. Him and longtime colleague Ken Thompson were the people behind Unix. But what's interesting about that is that he originally wrote Unix in assembly language and then recoded it completely in C.
That sounds like something I just said 30 seconds ago.
way to restate the obvious there.
Repost, downvote. And it's funny because a lot of geeks and nerds, the true people who like to play with gadgets and Tinker, you can tell who they are because they all mentioned it.
A lot of people were sort of pissed off that he wasn't getting as big media attention as Steve Jobs did.
Well, I mean, Steve Jobs just used his work to step on in better places.
Yeah.
But it's all about public visibility. You could tell someone enjoyed having their life public. And
how many Mac users do you think actually know that Mac is built on a Unix base?
I don't know. I think it'd be funny if I walked around my intro to computer programming for engineers class and pointed all the Macs and asked them what OS it was, and I said I bet Linux would run better on the Earth. I'm sure I could word it so they would be successfully trolled.
I think that the reason why everybody was freaking out about Steve Jobs and not about Ken Ritchie is because Steve Jobs, everything he did, he self-identified himself with Apple and its products. Like, you automatically connected Steve Jobs with Apple and everything about it. Whereas Ken Ritchie probably wasn't as loud about it as Steve Jobs was.
Yeah, well,
I mean, Ken Ritchie wasn't going on, you're using C and Unix, guess who created that bitch, baby?
Dennis Ritchie.
Ritchie.
But I think the thing was he just was more of a humble guy. See if I can find the. I'm gonna go ahead and post this doodad here down here in the chat, and I'll put it on the topic list as well. But I don't know if this is accurate. Seems good enough. Dennis's brother basically wrote a letter out to. Anyway, he said...
Okay.
He basically wrote a...
No, well,
he wrote a letter at the end.
Yeah, what the letter said that his family is appreciative of how the tributes seem to represent Dennis Ritchie. He was, unfailingly kind, sweet, unassuming, and generous, and of course a complete geek. You know, that's... If I could get that sort of... send off from my family, then I think I would have had a good life, especially if I'd, done some amazing things in programming. Not only did he write C, or, help write C, help write Unix, he also wrote the book Programming in C, which is more than just C. It's basically how to program at all. It's how to properly structure and build programs so they're, logical and all that other. The guy knew what he was doing. He's a well-respected guy.
Oh, yeah. We can all agree.
I went really quickly to my bookcase, and I think I have that book. I just didn't have enough time in this conversation to go check it out.
You can't even read. I don't know. They printed it in...
They printed it in Greek?
It's printed in Greek, yes. Okay. That's how I read it, in hieroglyphics.
But what does C translate to in Greek?
It's an X, actually.
Oh.
We don't have a C in Greek.
Well, that's just confusing.
Well, how do you spell cunt?
How do you spell cunt?
Yeah. we spell it with a K.
What about cock?
I think it'd be K, too.
We spell that with a
K-O-K-K? Wait, what?
Welcome back, Vito. That's so last thought on Comic-Con before we ditch that, since we're back to that. Most impressive part of Comic-Con, well, your most impressive booth or whatever it was, what stood out to you the most?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
There was a lot there that really caught my eye and pulled me around. Dark Horse had a lot of really cool stuff with their retro stuff and their game properties. DC Direct with all of their resin action figure or their resin statues for the new Arkham City. There's pictures up on the website if you want to take a look at those. I have to pick one. I'm going to say Shoot Many Robots. I had so much fun playing that game, and I was really upset when I died and had to move on. And I can't wait for that to come out. That needs to come out right now so that I can download it.
Legally.
Of course, legally. It's an independent developer. that's one of those
you don't want to steal.
Yeah, you don't want to steal those because that's an independent developer that came up with something that's new and innovative and just all kinds of kick-ass, and that's the kind of stuff that you really want to reward to see what else they can come out with next time.
Well, that's the thing about indie games. They're so great, and you get so much bang for your buck. You don't get ripped off.
For the record, we're not telling you to steal from other people just because they're big companies. Don't steal, period. Disclaimer from the Noisecast.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I know that a lot of people will steal their games, like, no matter what, no matter who makes them.
Yeah.
And normally it's justified by, oh, well, they make so much money anyway. Well, this isn't one of those companies that really makes huge amounts of money. Now, they have worked on some really big titles. They worked on Borderlands. They worked on Mass Effect. They worked on a lot of the Brothers in Arms games. A lot of the Guitar Hero or Rock Band expansions. But they weren't actually the ones that did all of the work. So they are making money, obviously. That's why they're doing it and they're able to do it. But this is the first one that was like born in their house and grew into a major product. And I can say confidently that anybody that's ever enjoyed any kind of shooting game, like if you've ever played Gunstar from back in the Sega Genesis days or any of the Metal Slug games, it's a lot like that. But it has a lot of RPG feel to it because your character levels up. You can put different pieces of equipment on for different things. And my personal favorite was the anybody that's read Penny Arcade knows what Fruit Fucker is. There's a Fruit Fucker headpiece, and we've got some video. I need to watermark it and upload it. We've got a video of the Fruit Fucker and what he does. He gives penetration to your bullets. And what that means is the bullets will actually go through up to two robots to kill other robots at the same time. But while he's on your head, he's not just like hanging out. He is physically thrusting his hip area into your skull and moving around the whole time. Like, he starts off on the back, then he slides around to your ear, and then he just gets right up on your face and looks like he's fucking your nostrils. Absolutely hilarious. And that's just a taste of the kind of humor that's in the game.
Oh, fuck yeah.
All right. So Comic-Con, go for it next year, or in San Diego, whichever one, go to it. It's a blast, according to Vito. Switching to another death this week. Wow, a lot of deathly articles. This time from Google. Google Buzz and Google Labs are dead, dead, dead.
They killed Google Labs too?
Google Labs yesterday, I think.
They're not killing Google Labs. They're just killing the web page for Google Labs. All the projects are going back to their respective departments, and they'll be available under settings. Like in Gmail, they have all the beta stuff in the settings page.
Okay.
They're just doing away with overall... I don't know why. I mean, that makes sense.
I get Google Buzz because that sucked ass. But Google Labs was badass.
Yeah, it was just cool to see what they were playing with. But recently, it hasn't been anything new as much as features within things they already had.
Okay.
And that got kind of annoying to like, you know, oh, I'm going to go look at this. And then, oh, I have to go navigate through my settings anyway. Might as well just put it in there. But I don't know, maybe if they just put a list up of stuff that they were dealing with.
Well, they killed a lot of stuff. Like, aside from Labs, the website, and Buzz, they also did, like, some of the academic repositories and some other stuff like that they killed off. They killed off a lot of things. I guess it's part of the whole fat-trimming process that they're going through.
I was kind of annoyed that they decided to delete, or not delete, get rid of the code search.
Yes, that was another one.
Yeah, why would you get rid of a... It's all open source code. Why get rid of it? Why get rid of the search for that? I mean, it's a learning tool. It's a borrowing tool. It's... maybe they're getting too many hits on piracy or something.
Maybe just too much resources are going into it. I don't know. I mean...
I can't imagine that many resources actually would... Once you get the searching down...
I guess you still need a team to run every single one of those products.
Yeah.
But you could probably have a single person manage something like that once it's already established, though. But maybe that's too many. Yeah, they are trimming the fat. I mean, like it says in the article, Google has their hands in
everything.
Yeah, and that's a little ridiculous. And focusing on a few prime things wouldn't hurt.
But the code search will still be around till the next start of the next year.
Yeah.
What was the one thing that they also killed? It was a website that nobody even knew was Google's or nobody even knew existed.
I know what you're talking about. I looked at it, and that's why I did not include it in the post.
It was like, what? That's Google's sort of thing?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Was it Break? No. Break even?
It was like Jive or something stupid.
It was some sort of shopping thing, but they said they were integrating it into the
Daiku?
Rest of their...
No.
There was another one that they're integrating, or they're just folding into their Google products. Oh, boutiques.com. There we go. Boutiques.com.
Okay.
And like.com.
Yeah.
Both are being folded into Google product search. So.
Well, I don't care about that.
I don't think anybody did, because nobody knew about them.
Yeah. It took, you know, four people who were fairly well versed in the internet over 30 seconds to figure out what the hell he was talking about. Oh, wait, it pairs DJ Underboob used.
And she knew it with Google, so she's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, well, I would never purposely go to a site called boutiques.com.
Yeah, me either.
That's a chick thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, you know.
In not so many words.
Actually, he was using way too many words. It's a chick thing.
Yeah.
Another death this week. Well, not really a death. This time it involves the BlackBerry network, which went down all over the world.
It didn't go down for me.
It went down for the majority of the people in the world.
Well, actually, my wife's work BlackBerry was affected.
See, Gonzo, it did go down for you, but nobody talks to you anyway, so you didn't notice.
Oh, burn!
Forever a load.
So, in a very sort of weird, uncharacteristic move, Mike Lazaridis, one of the CEOs of BlackBerry, actually came out and was humble and apologized, and he wasn't all douchebag and, yeah, we fix it, so quit your bitching, blah, 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 like he usually does.
Well, I think it's... I think that's partially because the entire board of directors was behind the curtains, and they said, if you do this wrong, we're going to beat you with canes. And partially because maybe he's finally realizing that people only stay with BlackBerry because they've invested so much in, you know, they have friends on BBM and other services, and maybe they... It's honestly, switching from BlackBerry to any other OS wouldn't be that hard.
No.
I did it when I had a BlackBerry before my current phone. And switching over, it's not any harder than switching from iOS to Android. It's got to learn where stuff is, and then you're good. Except with, you know, BlackBerry Messenger, that's built in. You got all your friends on it and all this other stuff. Maybe people really like it. I can't imagine caring enough.
It's not that big of a deal.
Well, like we said, you don't have any friends that use it.
Ouch.
There was some screenshots, actually, of BBM as an application running on Android a few days ago that leaked out. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, I don't really care.
So I guess BlackBerry is trying to port over to Android with their BBM secure network or whatever, because they're seeing the competition from iMessage now with Apple?
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt to have BBM, I never used it, but apparently it works pretty well. It's pretty solid. Importing it to other, you know, other operating systems.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. It can't hurt them, except if people stop buying BlackBerry handsets because they realize they can still talk to their friends and get a better phone. I guess hurt them a lot. Never mind.
No, that should be a kick in the pants. They can actually make some new phones and not just keep repeating the same ones over and over.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It also helps for them to not say before every single product release, trust us, you're going to be wowed by this next release.
And I am wowed. I'm wowed you're in business.
They say that after every single product release.
There's nothing wow. Even I'm looking for a new phone.
That's that,
are you,
that's
are you on
a
AT&T? Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Go with Windows Phone 7.
Yeah. nobody saw that coming.
I'm in the market, so.
Give it a solid whirl. You got 30 days to return the phone. Try it.
I'll give it a look. Any particular models to look at?
HTC HD7S.
Okay.
The big mother effer.
Oh, well, I do like the big motherfucker.
But there goes our PG rating, Ray.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah, I noticed that we stopped using the explicit tag on iTunes for our podcast.
Well,
I guess that's a grip. I don't know, but I think we just pretty much said fuck it. Everybody knows by now.
I don't use iTunes, so fuck it.
I wonder what's going to happen to Zune with our podcast. It'll probably still be on there. By the way, yeah, we still actually post to Zune.
Yeah, I know. That's where I get it.
We post to Zune so the guy that's on the podcast can listen to it again.
I'm like, oh, something's downloading. What is that? Oh, that's me. Hey, I want to listen to me talk. Hey, that's why I did the soundboard thing. That's funny.
Speaking of AT&T with the Windows Phone 7, they're actually also were saying that their upcoming LTE phones are going to be not as power hungry as those in Verizon, and that they're only going to be turning off the one antenna unless it's actually being used for the 3G, so you'll get more battery life out of it.
That'd be nice, because I can't turn off, like, it would have been nice to be able to kill the 3G while I was at Comic-Con this weekend, because through most of the center, I was stuck on the Edge network, or 1H, or whatever the fuck it's called for Verizon.
Shithole?
Yeah, that one. And even though I didn't use it a whole lot, it was still draining the battery. I mean, I just turned on the airplane the entire day. Because I was still getting text messages.
No, you weren't.
You shut up! No, I was getting text messages through the day from Lou and Alberto and Mandy, and people were sending me Twitter messages and shit. So, for stuff like that, I needed to have it on, but I didn't need to be on 3G. And you can't do that on... I don't know if it's all of Android or just the fucking piece of shit Droid X that I have, but it's kind of annoying. I miss that feature.
No.
Well, and the difference between the AT&T LTE and the Verizon Sprint is that LTE is a GSM-based service.
Right.
So they can just use the same chip and send it over to that section of the chip versus, you know, have... Sprint and Verizon are still going to be using, as far as I know, CDMA for basic stuff like text voice for a while. So they get enough penetration with 4G to go full digital with that. But, and again, I don't know how much drain that's going to use, if it's going to be a constant ping and sucking of energy, or if it's just going to be...
Well... Here's the thing with AT&T and what they're saying about LTE, you know, sipping and not chugging the battery. By the time AT&T gets its phone network at LTE capabilities that Verizon has, I mean, next year we're looking at a whole new, actually later this year, a whole new brand of chips that are actually on the 28 nanometer platform. And those are the ones that actually use much less power. So whatever AT&T is saying... it sort of becomes outdated by the time it even happens, because the LTE chips on Verizon are going to be already less power-hungry than the first-generation ones right now.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, if you want to have a selling point, you got to scream it when you got it. You can't wait for it. You got to get people excited.
Oh, well. Anyway. So if you're looking for an LTE on the phone on Verizon, or AT&T when it does come out, it won't be a power hungry. Yay.
Yeah, unless Verizon somehow manages to, I don't know, not use a radio when it's not in use and therefore not suck any battery.
Well, Verizon is planning on moving everything over to LTE, including voice communications.
Yeah, so, I know, but they can't do that until they get full market penetration or a good chunk of the market penetration. Right now, they're only about 140 cities. By the end of next month, they're supposed to hit 175. That may be a good percentage of their numbers, but I doubt it's enough for them to switch over.
Is anybody worried that by switching to VoLT or whatever the hell
it's,
they're calling
it's essentially VoIP.
Yeah.
They're just adding LTE to make it sound cool.
Does that with my experiences on Skype and all this other stuff, there's a lot more dropped calls with those services. I mean, I don't know if anybody has noticed it, or I don't know, maybe it's just me.
Well, that's the... It's a problem with digital versus analog. Like, if, say you're watching, you know, digital TV, and you start getting a crappy signal, if you're actually watching, like, over-the-air digital, you start getting a crappy signal, everything goes out. The sound, the video, you know, it warps, it breaks up, it pixelates. But, you know, like 5 years ago, if you had a crappy signal, you'd just get a little bit of snow. Whereas now, what a little bit of snow on the screen, you know, that same amount it's of distortion done. Would completely kill whatever you're watching.
It really takes the fun out of phone sex.
Well, maybe you should... where I was going.
Okay. Speaking of Verizon, according to Kevlar, whoever wrote this, Verizon is being a dick butt.
Why did I have to write it? Why are you accusing me?
Because you're the only one that says dick butt.
You're all dick butts. You know what? That's going straight in the Twitter feed. Screw you guys.
You're all dick butts.
Just going to say, and they're all dick butts.
So, why is Verizon being a dick butt? Well, Verizon has actually changed its privacy settings for everybody who has a Verizon phone. Pretty much what it's doing now, and it's everything, any sort of web browsing you do, any sort of location information, any applications you use on your phone, how much you use them, what you download, what phones you use, what services you use, pretty much everything, and demographic information will be tracked by Verizon. Of course, your information, personal data, like your name, where you live and stuff, won't be tracked, but everything else will be. Now, Verizon didn't sort of tell you, hey, we're doing this. It just did it and opted you into it and then said in their privacy policy, oh, by the way, if you don't like us doing this, you could unsubscribe here.
And they buried it at the bottom of some policy letter, which they're sure no one's going to...
Exactly.
Yeah. I am completely astounded as to how this is not yet illegal. Because was it like the UK just passed or is considering a law where even on websites when you're filling out a form, the little check boxes cannot opt you in automatically. So if the option is, yes, send me these emails, it has to be empty. If it says, do not send me emails, it has to be checked.
What's even funnier about the site that you go to unsubscribe, it has two sections. One is to unsubscribe for mobile usage information, and one to unsubscribe for consumer information, just in case you're okay with them tracking one but not the other. But normally, like if you're going through a checklist like that, you say, you fill in the box that says no on both of them, and you hit one of the save buttons. Well, they have it so that they have a save button on each one. So if you do them both and you click one of the save buttons, it'll only track whatever that save button was positioned next to.
So most
people would just go through, click both of them, hit save, and then exit.
That is shady. Like, completely shady.
Because I almost did that, and I clicked no, no, save, and then the page, when it reloads, it doesn't show you, like, the second one, because it cuts off, because it says all the other bullshit on top. So I went there and I checked it, and the second one hadn't saved. It was only the first one. And I was like, okay, let me try this again. And then after I pressed the second save button, then it filled out the second one as well. So just an extra case of caution in case you do opt out of their privacy tracking policy.
Be thorough. Thorough about your privacy and your security.
But the quick URL is vzw.com/myprivacy. Be sure to log in if you have a Verizon account, and be sure to check both boxes and hit save on both of them if you want to subscribe.
Yeah, get rid of those dick butts.
Yeah, that's why I'm not talking. I'm trying to
turn right that right now.
Panicking over there. Stop tracking me!
Oh god, they know I was in New York at the Comic Con.
They saw I was hanging out with unwashed nerds all weekend. My reputation is ruined.
And yet there's another dick butt article on here. Tevlar.
Which one? What did I miss?
Okay. Oh, California dick butts want warrantless searches of phones. Jesus. There's like four instances of dick butt on this topic list.
You know what? We try to be professional and just make jokes in the topic list. No, Steven has to read them out loud.
Well, because you know what?
Shut up, dick butt.
Whoever puts the topic list on the actual podcast post doesn't edit it.
It's just a copy.
Grippa just copies it and pastes it on there.
And
so dick butt stays in there.
You like it when dick butt stays in there?
I'm Greek. I don't mind.
I just like hearing all the dick butt.
Vito and Ray are giggling at this. So, you know what? I call it a win. And again, dick butts just went on out on the Twitter.
Look, we do what we do to make ourselves and other people laugh, and no matter when or why you say it, dick butt is always going to produce a smile from somebody.
Yeah, exactly. We're not here to make you like us. You already like us, and we make you giggle and pee yourself.
C-Bullens in the topic list, by the way, in the live stream, told us that Verizon actually did put a little notification once you log in to pay your bill online. They actually tell you, by the way, this is happening.
Well, did you actually look at the notification, though? It
just says click here.
Well, actually, it just says here. under your My Bill section, he provided a screenshot in the live stream. It says, great new ways to manage your privacy.
Yeah, that
please read.
See, that doesn't say anything like, we just opted you into something that tracks you everywhere you go. That basically sounds like, hey, you know, if you're worried about online privacy, here's a tutorial.
It's
a completely different tone.
It's shady, but if anybody ever takes them to court, they could say, well, we had it on there.
Well, yeah, that's basically all it is. It's a check in the box. They're not actually doing it because they give two fucks about whether or not people fix their privacy settings to the way they would want their privacy settings to be. They're just doing it to cover their own asses.
Yeah,
which is what any company does.
And he said it explains what it is after you click on it. So, I guess they're sort of, I don't know.
Well, yeah, once they take you to the page, it's kind of hard to hide it.
So.
Well, there is that. Let's
dick
move
butts,
on.
Dick butts it is. So let's move to the California dick butts, who now are making it. It's apparently the California governor vetoes bill requiring warrant to search mobile devices. What that means was there was a warrant in the California Senate saying a bill in the California Senate saying that you have to have a warrant in order for a cop to search your phone. For example, if he pulls you over, and the governor.
Well, not entirely.
Okay.
It was in case of arrest. And basically, the governor the bill said that bill required a warrant to search a mobile device or a cell phone during an arrest. The governor vetoed it because the Supreme Court in California, which, I mean, they're all sorts of retarded over there, so let's follow their example, decided that it's okay to have warrantless searches when you arrest someone. I mean, if you arrest someone for, you know, eating and you see pot in their car, or you pull someone over, you see pot in the car, you arrest them, you search it, that makes sense. You know, okay, what else is in this car? However, a cell phone is pretty much a link to everything that person has done in the past at least 2 weeks. So it's kind of a different scale. It's like, well, the car might have a bag of pot in it, but this guy has been selling it for the past, you know, year, and all his emails are here, and he's got a list on, you know, who to drop off to, what their addresses are, his GPS shows where he's been at what times, stuff like that. It's a different level of stuff than just looking in a car, because a car is an instant, you know, this is what happens right now. Phone has a history to it.
Okay, because I had read another article, I just posted it in the TeamSpeak thing, in California where the Court of Appeals said it was okay for a cop to go through somebody's cell phone that had they had just pulled over as a normal traffic stop.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's just bull.
Yeah, he was pulled over December 6, 2009, taking a female friend home. He had been speeding on Highway 1. After speaking with him on the side of the road, he suspected the 25-year-old was under the influence of a stimulant drug, and his license was expired.
Okay, if someone's hyper at 2 in the morning, you expect they're under the influence of a stimulant drug. It's probably caffeine.
Ryan refused. He asked the guy that he could... Ryan refused so that he could conduct an inventory search prior to towing. I don't know. And it turns out that the guy went through his cell phone.
Yeah, and that's complete bullcrap. Because he was not arrested, so there was absolutely no reason to go through his phone. You know, if you have a phone, put a password on it.
Yeah, that's what I want. Like, if you want a password, are you obligated to tell them the password?
Well, no.
Not, like, I forgot.
No, yeah. And at the very least, you could wait for a warrant on that. If you say, if you get a warrant to search my phone, I'll give you the password. That's fine. But if it's not password protected, then the guy could have you sit in the back of his car while he goes through your phone, and there ain't much you can do about it.
If you have Android, you use the gesture-based password. Just make sure you wipe off your screen.
Every once in a while. I'm OCD about that anyway, and I don't even have a gesture-based unlocks.
Yeah. Well, I make sure I keep as much grease as I possibly can off of it,
yeah, but
which is difficult
Italian.
Being a greasy Italian wop.
Okay, so this article says that the guy was not arrested for driving under their influence. There was nothing like that, you know, arresting it. There was a fully legal Glock 20 pistol in the car. But it was stored in the trunk of the vehicle, so it was out of reach and it was legal. But the cops also noticed that on the guy's BlackBerry Curve, after it was turned on, displayed a photograph of a mask-wearing man holding two AR-15 rifles. And that's when they took the phone and started going through his cell phone messages and photographs.
What's wrong with having AR-15s, man? That's fun to shoot.
It's California, and I don't think was it since 1990.
Oh, you can't own them?
Is it 2000? No, it might have been 2002, 2003, maybe under Boob Nose. When the assault weapons ban took place, there's a whole list of things that a gun can... There's a list of things that make a gun an assault weapon. And any one gun can only have so many of them, like flash suppressor, pistol grip, removal or extendable stock.
Well, all AR-15s technically have a pistol.
Well, exactly. Grip. You can't buy an AR-15 in California because it has all of the things that make it an assault rifle.
Well, that's
why
lame.
It's called an AR. What do you think that stands for?
Well, I know, but they just don't know what they're talking about. It's a great gun.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, it's California, dude.
Well, I'd probably not to go to California, then.
But don't go to California.
All right.
So because of that picture, and then they went through his cell phone and looked at his messages and stuff, and they ended up, based off his messages and pictures and stuff, they ended up going to the guy's house and found a large cache of weapons, a marijuana growing operation, and $15,000 in cash.
Okay.
I mean, when you get a bust like that, it's going to be really easy to justify this shit.
But it's not. If the thing is, none of that would hold up in court if the search had been found illegal.
And the Court of Appeals is saying, well, it was legal.
Yeah. And what it should have been was illegal because unless the guy wasn't even arrested for his
supposed
speeding the first time.
DUI either.
Yeah, he wasn't arrested for it. So even then, the ruling that the governor talks about doesn't make any sense because it's during times of arrest you search for, you know, other things. Like if you get pulled over and the cop walks up and says, "Can I search your car?" You'd be like, "What the hell for?" Even if you're doing something wrong, the cop should not, you know, you need a warrant for that.
Well, under Boob, who is our legal correspondent, is saying that it's evidence of a crime and they can search it and take it if they want to.
Yeah, okay. So the guy can grab your phone and go through it if your phone is in your car. He can go in your car without a warrant, grab your phone, go through it, and that stands up in court. That's what my question is.
Yes.
That's California. Screw California.
I don't think she's taking a side. I think she's just telling us what the law is over there.
And we just think that's lame.
And it's called probable cause, which legally...
Well, yeah, the probable cause was they probably had someone following this guy because they thought he was growing pot. There's that.
So much anger.
Oh, really, Vito?
The pot calling the kettle black?
Black.
Hey!
I got it!
I'm going to give you a little statue that says American Idiom Award.
You passed first grade English. Finally, after all this time.
I never thought I'd see the day when we celebrated Stephen's grasp of the English language.
Savor the moment, because it might not come again. Alright, more legal stuff. This time we're actually dealing with some sort of not-so-angry legal stuff, more like idiotic legal stuff. This is why when you're a tech company, you make sure your lawyers know what the fuck it is that you sell. Because in the whole Apple versus Samsung lawsuit extravaganza that's been going on all over the world, you know, Apple's suing to block Galaxy Tabs and Samsung Galaxy phones from being sold in certain countries because Apple is saying that they are pretty much straight-up rip-offs of the iPad and the iPhone, down to how they look.
Wow, so, wow.
So, of course, in Australia, they've sort of won, and in Germany, they've won. But, okay, this one involves, I think this is here domestic in the U.S., right? Whoever wrote this article? Ben, you're not here. Whatever. But it turns out that the judge held up an iPad and a Galaxy Tab 10 feet away from Samsung's lawyers and asked them, can you identify which one is Samsung's product? And the lawyers turned around and said, Samsung's lawyers said, not at this distance, Your Honor, at 10 feet away.
This means that Samsung did a shitty job of hiring lawyers.
But what kind of dumbass goes into the store from, like, the door and is like, that one on the left there, I'm buying that one for sure. I don't even need to hold it. That's what I'm getting.
I don't want to check out the user interface.
I don't
interface.
Know what it is, but I'm getting that one.
I don't want to play with it
rectangle.
In any way. Give me that particular rectangle.
Well, 10 feet away, though, is not that huge of a distance if you're going to hold up an iPad and a Galaxy Tab.
It's a fucking eternity if you're using it. How the fuck are you going to use it from 10 feet away?
No, we're not talking about using it. They're not suing
even
only
looking at it. But, I mean, who gives a shit what it looks like from 10 feet away? Any consumer that goes up to it is going to be like, oh, well, this one has iOS.
Yeah,
this
but
one.
It's recognizing the product, though. It's like
were they turned on because the screen went on. The interface is completely different.
It doesn't matter. It's like it's like looking at a Mercedes and looking at a Toyota. They're both cars, but they're different.
They're
you can
not,
tell them apart.
Okay, that's like saying if you see a car,
yeah, but there's lots of different ways to make a car.
Away,
there's only so many tablets you can make. They all have to be rectangular, and black looks the best.
And black, but there's also different things like buttons or shape. That's what Apple is saying.
The market is dictated that consumers don't like lots of buttons on their devices.
Yeah, you can't see a 2 millimeter tall by 5 millimeter long button from 10 feet. I'm sorry. And if you can, then good for you. Your LASIK worked. It's a little ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous request, I think, to make in a courtroom.
It's a valid request, though.
It's no, it's not.
It is. You're dealing with the iPad is it's a patented whatever the fuck it is when you take a design and you say it's ours. Okay, and it goes.
You can't patent a fucking rectangle.
Exactly.
Well, tell that to the U.S. Patent Department or whoever the hell gave them the patent.
I'll tell
Apple quicker
bitch
and moan.
People are buying iPads.
They've done it anyway. It doesn't matter if you can or you can't. That's how it is. It's done. It's end of story. I don't care. No, you're going to go to court. You can't patent a rectangle.
Okay.
Well, fuck you. It's already been done.
Look, I'm going to patent my nutsack, and I'm going to go to Apple with Vito, and we're going to whip our nutsacks out and be like, which one's different, bitch?
I'm not disagreeing with you guys.
Same fucking thing.
You're using a nutsack. You owe me money.
I would sue you because it looks like mine, Ray, and I've already patented mine.
Hey, fuck you. They're different.
Yeah, mine doesn't have ginger pubes on it.
We can draw them.
And yeah. I think the live stream is sort of blowing up with this, too. Okay, like Underboob and Enos One, and so they're saying that Underboob is saying you can patent
a color. Yes, you can.
And you can't patent a shape. And Enos One says that it's they're talking about they look alike. That's a whole patent lawsuit. They jacked their image, their design. That's what Apple is saying.
okay, who initially made the first laptop that had a keyboard on the bottom instead of on the top?
Was it Motorola?
I don't give a crap. They should sue everyone else, including Apple, who's been making MacBook Pros. It's kind of stupid. Like Ray said in the comments on the article, there's a form factor for a tablet. Unless you come out with a triangular tablet, you know, it's going to be basically the same shape as a modern computer screen, except you can touch it. And if I detached the screen from my laptop right now, and it worked by itself with an OS, that would infringe upon this patent, apparently.
Okay, suppose you make something that's really, really super cool and unique and innovative. Nobody else has ever thought about it. Nobody else has done it. And you've designed it a certain way. It's a very simple design.
Which followed past designs seen in films and everything else.
Whatever.
Because rectangle with a screen isn't fucking revolutionary.
I'm not saying it is. Look, I'm not agreeing with you guys. I'm not disagreeing is what I'm saying. I agree that it's bullshit. But at the same time, it's holding up in court.
But here's my other question. Why isn't this fight going on with monitors? Because all monitors look the fucking same. Because
nobody patented it.
If I take a Samsung monitor, like a 20-inch flat screen, and put it next to a Dell of the same variety, they look the fucking same.
And they have the same finish. The buttons are in the same place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's just the way it works.
I think
it's a ridiculous request on Apple saying, hey, you
a lot can't make of this
black, shiny records.
Is happening overseas because, I mean, I think here, honestly, you want to create jobs in America, have a patent court. They solely deal with patent. They have people look at it and then flip a coin as to whether or not it's common sense for you to own a rectangle. Like, no one else can ever make a self-contained computing device with no other input but touch, and it'd be a rectangle.
Look at Underboob in the live stream. She's yelling at you to pay attention to her.
No. No, okay, it doesn't have to do with what you carry. Patent law does not only apply to what you carry. It applies to what you use.
She's saying that it's not that it's a rectangle. It's that you can't tell them apart. If you can't tell them apart from 10 feet away, not a big deal. Who gives a shit? When you get close to it, it's pretty fucking obvious which one is Android and which one is Apple.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't a ruling. I mean, this isn't, you know, the end of this Apple lawsuit. It's just a piece of thing that happened in court.
Okay. Know? Well, what they should have done was hold up the back of the device. Which one has a design? I mean, it's
the
all
back's
stupid.
Look different.
This is the thing about patent law and copyright law. It's just it's fucked up.
Shouldn't it be trademarked then?
Isn't a trademark a written thing, isn't it? It's like
Underboob is brown for UPS trademarked?
But that's a certain RBG.
Trademark is an image, exactly. And brand recognition in this case is an image. Obviously, it's an image because they're looking at it. They're not using it.
If you're sitting on a train or a bus or anywhere in public, they're going to be looking at the back of it. The back of one has Samsung on it. The back of the other one has a piece of half-eaten fruit on it.
But what if I'm looking at the front of it? Oh, then you would see that I'm using iOS and or Android.
Not from 10 feet away.
How not?
I'm just being sarcastic.
I could still probably see the Samsung written on the bottom bevel.
Yeah. Or
10 feet.
Or here's a better one. You look at the person holding it. If they're unshaven and have a pack of the stupid cigarettes...
Man person.
American Spirit?
Yeah, American Spirit. They're with the little Indian on. If they have a pack of American Spirit poking
really
out of their V-neck pocket, it's an Apple device.
C-Bones brings up a good point, even provides an image of the HTC flyer and saying, well, why isn't HTC being sued?
They're not there yet?
That's easy, because Apple has a fucking hard-on for suing Samsung.
Well, they're not exactly going super easy on HTC. But, I don't know.
Everybody's suing everybody right now for some different reason.
That's why I'm getting annoyed with the tech industry. It's less about innovation and more about preventing sales of other people.
Could we talk about something else? This is just fucking annoying.
I'm with Vito.
Okay.
Vito, do a pretend shot, because I don't actually have a shot.
I got a beer in my hand.
Cheers, sir. Here, I'll clink it against another beer to make it official.
All right, this one is probably totally different, but it involves viruses. Yay, viruses with the military. Ooh, scandalous. So, turns out the...
Should have wrapped it up.
Can we put Dick Button there somewhere?
Dick Button.
No.
So really? Was that French?
The unmanned drones that the military uses, that the U.S. Air Force uses, I'm sorry, the UAVs apparently are being hit by a virus that is supposedly a nuisance, according to the U.S. Air Force. Now, military guys on the podcast, explain to me what the hell is going on,
okay,
and why should I be concerned?
This isn't a military-only thing. This is basic computer. I mean, the virus, this particular thing was apparently brought in on a removable hard drive. It's a keylogger. It's used to steal online gaming and gambling passwords. But the bigger problem is that that somebody managed to bring a contaminated hard drive onto a standalone network. This network is standalone. It's not connected, you know, to the internet and everything else. It's a network of computers that is used to manage the mission information. Someone brought this hard drive in, infected, didn't scan it, plugged it in, probably to watch movies while they were on their shift, and got everything infected. The virus didn't do anything. It just logged keystrokes, probably, or something like that.
But, no big deal.
Can they just put it in safe mode?
Well, it's a virus. It's, you know, they have images of all of this stuff.
Was it Vundu? Probably that one. It's a piece of shit.
They
hate Vundu.
Are you talking about fondue? What the hell, dude? Chocolate fountains can wait, man. But this particular one wasn't a really big problem. However, they better step up their security. And by that, I mean disable USB ports unless authorized by a network admin for that standalone network. Because the fact that it's already been contaminated means that people now know it can be contaminated.
It sounds sort of like it's straight out of a movie.
Except for the fact that it doesn't do anything. A lot of flapping arms and freaking out for nothing.
Well, that's what people think about. What was it, the Stuxnet virus? Like, it didn't do anything. It's not doing anything. Why isn't it doing anything?
Except they've contained it and removed it, so it's gone.
Is it? I thought it was still going on and just kept spreading, and nobody knows what the fuck it's supposed to be.
I'm talking about this instance, Air Force.
Okay.
But it's not like that in that it's already been contained, because it was on a self-contained network. Where the hell is it going to go? It's not like just because the drone flies, it can fly over to the internet and drop off this payload.
Drops off its load on the internet.
Load.
So Stuxnet was the internet's biggest fuck. Over. Load.
The hell?
Are you talking?
Why did it take that long to get out a single thought that was only like 10 words long?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Because I'm translating in 10 different languages right now.
You should do less of that.
Yeah. How about you stick with the one that you're trying to podcast in?
That's the hardest one of them all. Makes no fucking sense.
Right, morons.
Oh, that was to everyone saying goodnight in the chat.
Okay.
And Steven. You're calling your chat people. You can call me a moron. I just don't believe you.
Well, that's the problem. If you believe me, we get some improvement. I'm just kidding, Steven.
I know, it's tough love. It's tough love.
Yeah. And if our readers don't understand and listeners don't understand tough love, then they've never listened to us before.
It's a whole bunch of dick butts on a podcast.
Dick butts.
Dick butts. Okay, last article that's business related before we move on to WTF. This one does not involve dick butts. It involves AT&T doing something decent. And if you've ever worked at a company that supplies you with a phone from work, and obviously, you know, whatever you do on that phone, you can't really do anything personal on it because it all gets tracked or whatever by the company. Well, AT&T is now giving you an option on your smartphone. It sort of separates the business from the personal, so you could run two instances of the same thing if you're running Android 2.2 or higher. So it lets your IT department take that phone and give you like a personal partition.
It's an app that separates it.
Yeah, I'm trying to like make it sound like it's like a partition. It's sort of like a partition.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say that. I think the app runs contained in itself. More like you start work in the app, and everything in there does not bleed over into everything. But yeah, I guess it'd be like a partition.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah.
But so, not really, because I can access partitions in the same. It's like a separate login, if you will. Is that better?
A separate account?
Separate account.
Okay.
But it's not only your work phone. This can go on a personal phone as well. If you use your phone for work. Yeah. Well, yeah. Basically, that's the whole idea, is that instead of companies buying BlackBerries or smartphones or whatever for their employees, they say, hey, you can buy any Android phone you want over Android 2.2. You get the nicest, fanciest phone you want. That way the company doesn't have to buy it. Company doesn't have to pay the full, monthly cost. They say, well, whatever, we'll reimburse you however much a month. Probably a little bit a month.
That's a pretty novel idea, I think.
Yeah, and then what IT does is it sets up this app, and the app runs separately from your games, your texts, your other apps, and everything else, because, they're not, as you can tell, looking through the past of, through its past, not all the apps are what they claim to be, and they do tend to, some of them kind of nasty, tend to steal data. And enterprise users tend not to be.
No.
So this app runs entirely separately, so you can, when you're in the app, you can only manage, it's basically logging in, like almost kind of like a VPN, if you will. You're in, you can get your work email, you can get your work documents, all that stuff. You can only get to it within the app. And you can only get to the stuff within the app while you're within the app.
And that's what I was going to ask you, is what the hell difference is this from just downloading a VPN app and just going with that?
Because this is all set up nicely on an Android app interface. What good would a VPN app do? You're in their network, but you still have access to your angry birds and everything. Basically, while you're working, you're stuck working. You have to actually quit work. Quick the work app to go play Angry Bird.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Only from AT&T. Nobody else is offering this yet.
It's a good idea. I think it's a good way for businesses to bring down the cost of phones. And if you subsidize phone purchases of your employees just a little bit, and the monthly cost just a little bit, you save the company a ton of money. But the employees feel like they're getting, hey, yeah, they're paying me, so much a month because I got extra data.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And as RT100 said it in the live stream, VPN, you're accessing your favorites, Facebook, copy and paste, and clipboard. But the dedicated app, nothing escapes.
Nothing escapes the dedicated app. Well, that's more on the productive route. However, I don't really understand why you'd need to use it at work, which is kind of how they sold it. If you're at work, you're at your desk, where you have all this other stuff anyway.
Maybe you're telecommuting.
Yeah, if you're telecommuting, you should not be working solely on. That's how I see it.
Maybe it's for the people that are on the road a lot.
Yeah, no, I get that, and it's so it doesn't bleed over, and you don't accidentally email a work email to someone else in your contacts with similar names. Because when it comes to intellectual property, that's a big screw-up.
What was that big one that happened this week that was like that? Somebody actually accidentally emailed some letter to the wrong person telling people how to fuck somebody over?
I thought it was the guy, the Google guy, who posted a rant on Google Plus about how Google Plus was just playing catch-up. He meant to make it just to his, friends at Google, but he ended up sharing it publicly, and it got spread all over the internet.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah. The guy basically said that Google Plus is a horrible afterthought. It's nothing original. They're chasing Facebook so hard, and they're not doing anything original with it. And he went on to say that... Well, he went on to say how Amazon is a crap company to work for and all. Yeah, RT100 just down in the chat. Hey, that was an interesting story.
I read through the whole thing. At first, it was going to be... I mean, first he sounded like he was bashing Google, but then he goes on this rant about Amazon and Jeff Bezos, and I'm like, okay, so this is a yay Google thing? And then it turns around at the end, and I'm like, oh.
Well, yeah, it's really long, and it's really well-worded, but I don't think he had a clear goal when he wrote it. I just think the guy writes pretty well.
We should hire him for the Noisecast.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't have a job tomorrow...
Yeah, unlike me, when I just get wordy, I'm like, why am I talking about popsicles? The iPhone was okay. I mean... But... DJ Underboob says that Google Plus doesn't bring anything new to the table, which is exactly the point.
Well, people that are using Google Plus, I mean...
I like it.
But it's just there. It's just one of those things that's there. There's not really something that makes me want to use it more than I use Facebook or Twitter.
I actually almost stopped using Twitter for about 2 weeks because of it, and I started using Twitter again because I don't. I mean, I have to use the website for my phone. It doesn't quite like IE9.
Oh, the Twitter website? It doesn't like
it. No. Google Plus.
Oh.
I have apps. There's no app for Windows Phone 7 for Google Plus. They're supposed to be coming
down the pipeline.
Good luck with that. Oh, that was really funny. When Microsoft completed its acquisition of Skype, and the first thing they did the day they completed the acquisition was push out a new release of Skype that removed every single Google promotion and branding that it had on it.
And then didn't that cause something to crash? I heard a bunch of people complaining that Skype crashed.
On the iPhone. Or no, Google Voice was crashing on the iPhone.
Oh.
Well, that'll happen.
I just hope Microsoft up the video, whatever the hell's wrong with Skype video. If I can be in a hangout with, there are three parties. There's my in-laws, us, and then my sister-in-law in New Mexico. And I can get crystal clear video, you know, coming from HD webcams on all ends. Don't have an issue, it doesn't skip, doesn't lag, doesn't degrade, it's fine. But then I go over to Skype, and I'm Skyping with my parents in Houston, who have a faster connection than me or anyone else on that three-person hangout, and it decides to drop the quality down to nothing. Where it's basically, and it freezes, and it has all...
It's basically video chat with Minecraft.
Yeah.
This is why the original the very first Noisecast meet... was on Skype, and within 5 minutes we moved to Tiny Chat.
Yeah. Well, it was beta then. But I'm saying just one-on-one on Skype is worse than a group hangout on Google.
The beta was better. Actually, you can't even do a conference call now on the regular Skype.
No, you have to pay for it, I think.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that note, it's time for WTF News.
All right. I'm ready. This is pretty good WTF news, if I read it correctly. It's over that goddamn Comic Sans. Fuck, put that shit in there.
So, Filipino man, who is not Ben Avicilla, named Herbert Chavez, got plastic surgery over and over and over and over again since 1995 to make himself look as close as possible to Superman.
I think the guy just
and
the
he
gym.
Looks more like Diana Ross.
Really, really kind of does. Doesn't really look like Superman.
He got a nose job, chin augmentation, lip injections, thigh implants, and all this other stuff to make himself look exactly like Superman. Even got skin bleaching as well.
Yeah, that's the most noticeable one for me.
And he has a shrine dedicated to Superman with everything Superman-related inside.
Which Superman? Christopher Reeve? Because he's got one more surgery to go.
Christopher Reeve is dead, you asshole.
Hmm? weekend. I'm not making fun of Christopher Reeve. I'm making fun of this guy for his dedication. Something so retarded.
This article in the HuffPo doesn't show a lot of pictures. The one I had found had like a lot more, where he was posing with cardboard cutouts of Christopher Reeve and actual action figures and stuff.
My biggest problem is the guy doesn't seem to have hit the gym at all during this whole
time. Yeah,
He looks like he weighs maybe a buck 30, buck 40.
And half of that's hair.
Well, half of that's hair gel.
Here's that person.
That's why it's so heavy.
Why post it in TeamSpeak? Why not post it to everyone, you jerk?
Because I'm in the... Because
he's a jerky McJerk face.
Mine. It's my fucking link.
I'll hook up the rest of the chatters.
Wow. He looks... Wow. Seeing him posing with pictures of himself.
Oh, yeah. And Steven, your typing decided to make a shit play.
Decided to make a shit?
Yes.
You broke up. What did you say?
Your typing was really loud.
No, it's not. I have a quiet keyboard now.
Okay, not when you hammer the keys.
I'm still amazed by this. How do you get an obsession like this?
I see the one where he's holding a picture of his old self and a drawing of Superman, and he's standing between them like a gay Ken doll who put on a blue spandex suit.
Yeah.
They didn't even title the pictures right. This one just says Superman Guy 2.jpg. Like, whatever.
And he has like a bunch of like life-size statues. What do you call those?
Well, they look like plaster.
Yeah, they're all statues. There's one of the old, really old cartoon series. Then there's one that looks like a more recent cartoon/comic series. And then there's one that looks a lot like Brandon Routh from the latest Superman movie. And he's got this creepy grin on his face.
Well, if the Superman gig doesn't work out, there's always Michael Jackson he could go for. It's close enough as it is.
Seriously, you spend $20,000 on plastic surgery and not a $24 a month to go to the gym.
And that's too much work.
$50 a month for steroids.
That's too much work.
Okay. Apparently this guy has body dysmorphic disorder, where he needs to get plastic surgeries to do this shit. But it doesn't tell me the psychological effects of it.
I can't believe this guy's 35 years old.
Because body dysmorphic disorder just makes you want to have surgery, plastic surgery over and over again to change your appearance. There's nothing that said. I think that plus the Superman obsession is what. I don't know. I have no fucking. I'm not going to try to say
that. I will say he doesn't.
Has the guy tried to fly?
You know what? I don't think he has.
I can tell that because he's still alive.
Next up on WTF News. Well, this one's sort of... Well, I guess this is WTF enough, but an FBI agent who took a Ferrari for a joyride crashed it. This was a while ago. I remember that.
Oops.
And the owner, obviously, it was a stolen Ferrari, so when they recovered it, the guy took it for a joyride. He crashed it. So the guy said, well, fuck you. The FBI is liable. You owe me $750,000. And the judge said, no, the government is immune to that kind of a lawsuit.
What?
Interesting.
So we're not paying you shit because it was in government custody. So they're not liable for the damages.
That is some horse shit. Gonna throw that one out there. Look, you have a car and you drive it around and you crash that shit, you're at fault. I don't care who you are.
But it's the government. It's the FBI. They can make it not happen.
That's the CIA.
What the hell does FBI do then?
Investigate shit.
They investigate bureaus.
Yeah. They go to your house and look through your closet.
Or, if you say it in Spanish, they investigate burros. Like a donkeys.
I think there's a different word. I don't really speak Spanish, but...
Burro is donkey in Spanish, and burro is butter in Italian.
Yeah, but I don't think burro
donkey butter, huh?
Becomes donkey in Spanish.
I go get a beer and donkey butter.
Well, when you say it in Spanish, if you come from, like, you know, Spanish background.
Oh, so we're speaking Spanglish? Is that what
you're
saying?
You gotta say with an accent. The federal burro. No, that's Greek.
What are you talking about?
How'd that go?
What is this? No. I don't even.
No. Nokia's new ringtone. It's dubstep. End of story.
What the... The Nokia ringtone is one of the most iconic ringtones of all time.
Not anymore. Blah, 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 blah.
That doesn't even sound like the old Nokia. Like, I could understand maybe if they wanted to be, like, hip and modern, so they took the original Nokia ringtone and dubstepped it out.
The thing was...
That's what dubstep does. It has little bits and pieces of a song that you'll recognize.
This doesn't have any of
that. If you listen very, very carefully in
your
the beginning and the end, you'll hear it.
I had to listen to it
five or six times before I could pick it out, and I was straining to hear it, and it just made me hate it more and more every time.
Yeah, no. I mean, I like the idea of having a contest, I guess, but you know, stick to the roots, man.
Well, I think it has to do with Nokia being a European company and dubstep being really big in Northern Europe.
Who got to be the judge here is what I want to know. Was it some old suits smoking cigars?
The people have spoken.
Oh, well, people are
they
dumb.
They put it up for vote, and then people voted on it and chose that.
What the hell, man? What the hell? That's wrong.
That would annoy the absolute piss out of me. That's something I would set as my alarm in the morning.
Yeah, you're like, I have to wake up, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, this guy got $10,000 for a ringtone.
$10,000?
Yep.
For some wub wub music?
Yep.
Yep.
Yup, yup.
Wub wub.
The fuck, man. What's the world coming to?
Did 4chan have something to do with this vote by any chance? Did they skew the results?
You know what? In this day and age, it wouldn't surprise me if there was...
Did Nokia just troll... or 4chan troll the world just now?
Well, 4chan or somebody else, there are some definitely some trolling going on to get that to be the win. Like, how shitty were the rest of the entries?
That's what I would like to listen to at least the other top 10 and see what they were. If they're all dubstep, then it's kind of like, yeah.
Oh, even I wouldn't be supposed to another dubstep, but that's just not good dubstep.
Well, I don't think you can have good dubstep limited at 30 seconds. I think that kind of like...
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And consider how heavy dubstep is on the bass and full-range speakers. Yeah, let's put that out of something that's roughly 2 millimeters square and yeah, it'll sound great.
Well, I'm trying to find what the 10 finalists were. Okay, I found NokiaTune.audiodraft.com. That's where the 10 finalists were.
Okay.
BRB typing.
Please, you can figure that out.
Well, it's more than 10 finalists. Well, it tells you, okay, rating, you got to sort by rating. Well, it does it by rating. Winner, then runner-up, then finalist. So.
Still, there had to be somebody better.
Okay, number two is more like a gay country song.
What was the address again? I was distracted by Agrippa complaining about something in the chat.
Oh my god, these are pretty bad.
Why didn't we enter?
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh, they are so bad.
They really are bad.
Jesus.
And I want to be clear, just because we're saying that they're all bad, that doesn't diminish the badness of the dubstep. They're all equally horrible.
Question, though. I'm seeing that the dubstep one only got 1,394 likes and 5.6 thousand shares on Facebook, Twitter, and G+.
Okay.
But
and the Great Marvelous got a whole lot more. 39,000 likes and 49,000 shares.
Well, is that since or before or shares Nokia?
Oh, dear God.
The Great Marvelous is terrible.
What is the address again, Stephen?
NokiaTune.audiodraft.com.
Wow.
I'm just confused on how these finalists were chosen.
Well, you said by the people,
right? So I mean, there's clearly, out of all the finalists, this guy is not in the top five. This dubstep guy, at all.
Yeah, the.
I'm gonna go to page and see what's on page 10, and I will play a random one, and only the people in the Ustream will see what we think. Bridges of Humanity.
I mean, there's two Chinese versions that have gotten more likes and shares than the dubstep. But all of these are sort of eh. Okay, Electronic Voice is creepy. Anyway, go look it up yourselves on NokiaTune.audiodraft.com.
Okay, we're gonna make sure that link gets in the video.
Just listen to the Great Marvelous.
Now I sort of see why the dubstep one was chosen, because it was the lesser of all the evils.
No, okay, on page 10, I just heard a couple slightly techno-y remixes of the Nokia tune, and they sounded all right. So either they wanted to completely drop the most memorable thing that their company is known for around the world, like, hey, that's the Nokia tune, or they got really high and made the decision.
It seems like most of these were made in GarageBand or Fruity Loops.
I think the Great Marvelous
Capella one wasn't too bad. If you like the doo-wop,
I think the Great Marvelous was made on like Windows Sound Recorder on Windows 95 inside of a closet.
And that one got the most votes. That one should have won, and that would have been hilarious. I think more people would have used that one than they're going to use a dubstep version.
Yeah. It's like when you used to, when you first could record your own ringtone, you know, when that was started getting cool and it was easy to do and all the phones could do it. Everyone recorded ringtones for other people, like, hey, set this as my ringtone. And I don't know if that was just my group of weird ass friends, but that's what we did. It was quite hilarious because one of them was like, I'm being raped. And then you're like, oh, hey, John's calling. Hang on a second. I don't know. It just seemed better to me.
You had some pretty weird ass friends.
Oh, right. Like, any of you wouldn't have done the exact same thing if I gave you my phone and said, hey, record a ringtone for yourself.
Well, I would. If you had an iPhone, I would have done the thing that they're doing now, which is where you could put in a word that when you type it in, it changes it to something else automatically.
Oh, like a ringtone? No, you're trying to do a segue, but it didn't work.
No, that is. I have seen some pretty funny ones. People doing that, and I kind of want to do that to people.
It's basically an autocorrect dictionary. You can edit it now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that wraps it up for WTF news. We didn't have many. There wasn't much WTF in this world. Plenty of dick butts on the topic list. There's an extra dick butt as number 4 in the WTF news.
Oh, don't forget the Comic Sans.
It doesn't say dick butt in Comic Sans.
It will now.
Fuck.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Great episode, guys. Thank you to everybody who tuned in the live stream. Yay, contributed, even though that some people didn't want to listen to you, what you were saying. We still heard you.
Well, no, we didn't hear them. We saw them.
We saw you. Yes.
We metaphorically heard your words. Your eyes. Dick butts.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in.
That was an accident.
Just a reminder. Next week is episode number 50.
So excited! I just randomly shout.
Episode 50. We're over a year into this. Let me pull
up. Technically, episode 52 would be a year.
Well, we didn't do one every week.
No, my Well, yeah, well, my original White Noise podcast, episode 00, is dated on 9/16, so September 16th of 2010.
I don't know if you listened to any of the ones that Ron hosted, but we already discussed that we've been doing this for a year.
We did.
I don't listen to the ones Ron hosts.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Clearly.
I do some of them when I can.
But no, it would be 52 because we've had a couple .5s that are just a week that we didn't really do anything but talk about dick butts.
So tune in next time for...
I like in a year we've gone from dicks to dick butts.
Dick butts.
It's a natural progression.
Who knows where we'll be in a year?
Well,
think of the possibilities.
Last year we would end every podcast with penis. Where we just yell penis into the microphone.
And for some reason nobody...
And Vito remembers that. Vito remembers that
very
well.
Nobody edited out. It was like, hey, let's leave that in there.
That's... Yeah.
And then we have someone who likes chest butts. Maybe what? Next year. Maybe next year will be the year for you.
Okay.
So I like underboobs, chest butt.
Let's keep it on non-sexual harassment level towards our listeners. So, on tonight's roster, we had Gonzo Ryder.
Yeah.
Kevlar Menace.
Good night, morons.
Vito number 9. Who's that hyena laugh?
Okay, go ahead.
Vito number 9.
Chest butts for the win.
Thank you for tuning into our live stream. We have a Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast.
It says dick butts on the Twitter.
And we have a website, thenoisecast.com, where you can go and
read our dick butts.
Oh, I'm going to choke on my cigarette.
I think...
Was that the sound of him throwing down his headset?
I think Steven just threw his mic.
I don't think we've had a good We Depressed Steven moment for a while.
Yeah, tune in next time. Good night.
Leave
alone.
Oh, he has to stop the recording.
I wonder how much of this Ron's going to leave in.
Hopefully all of it.
He just got up and walked away. Oh, shit.
We are fucking hopeless.
Excuse me, I have to go create a slash dick butts page. Ugh.